from this ayah that one of the major functions of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to explain the Quran, to explain what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. So then, for instance, I will talk about Salah, how to pray, the types of Salah that you have, the number of the daily Salawat, all these were explained by the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one cannot understand the Quran without the Sunnah. It is the Sunnah that you explain the Quran, and that is the task of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleanses in this verse, وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. So the function of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his rule is to explain the Quran. So أَسْتُنَّا تَعْتِ مُفَصِّلَةً وَمُبَيِّنَةً لِلْقُرْآنِ. At times, the Sunnah will also come to confirm what has already been said, what has already been said in the Quran. So in this case, the Sunnah will work mu'akkida, that is confirming what has been said in the Quran, that is saying the exact issue that the Quran is saying. So in this instance, the Sunnah will actually just emphasize and confirm what the Quran has said. Then the Sunnah can also come as mu'afisa, that is working establishing a new rule, not mentioned in the Quran. So it will establish a new rule. So there are matters like that in the deen, where it is a Sunnah that will tell us what to do. Those things are not mentioned in the Quran, but we can only find them in the Ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we say, well, the Sunnah here is doing the ta'qeed of some ahkam, some rules. So the Sunnah can either be mubayyina or mufassira, that he is explaining the Quran, what is general in the Quran, or what is absolute in the Quran. The Sunnah will specify it. So this is part of what we have. So the Sunnah is also emphasize what has already been mentioned in the Quran. The Sunnah is giving a new rule. So the Shaykh here says, وَسُنَّةُ تُفَسِّرُ الْقُرْآنَ. The Sunnah explains the Quran. That is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains the Quran. وَهِيَ تَكَالَهُ الْقُرْآنَ. The Sunnah is the proof of the Quran, is the proof of the Quran, meaning you cannot understand the Quran without the Sunnah. You can't understand the Quran without the Sunnah. So any person that goes against the Sunnah, such a person is indirectly going against the Quran. If someone says that he is the Quran, but I do not believe in the Sunnah, we say what it means is that you do not believe in the Quran. Because if you believe in the Quran, you believe in the Sunnah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وما كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون له الخيرة من أمره ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل ضلالا مبينا. It is unbecoming of a believer, male or female, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and messenger rule a matter, conclude a matter, أن يكون لهم خيرة من أمرهم. For them to say they have watch, they have al-khiyar, that is a choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he does not defeat a Muslim, a believer. He does not defeat a believer, male or female, to make such utterance. أن يكون لهم خيرة من أمرهم. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ Whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Such a person has manifestly gone astray. So this demonstrates the importance of the Sunnah. So the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam occupies a very deep position in Islam, and that is you cannot understand Islam without the Sunnah. You cannot understand the Quran without the Sunnah. So whoever denies the Sunnah has indeed denied the Quran. So that's why the scholars say those who go against the Sunnah and the Sharia of Quran, you such people are not Muslims, because you cannot understand Islam without the Sunnah. Allah has said that we use the Quran to the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that can explain to the people. So where are the explanations of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If one says it doesn't believe in the Ahadith, where are the explanations given by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout a period of messengership? Throughout, where were the explanations given? So if the person believes that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam carries out this task that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed for him, which is the tabjeen of the Quran, that means there must be a hadith. There must be a hadith. So you cannot understand the Quran without the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Sunnah is dalail al-Quran. The Sunnah is the proof of the Quran, the evidence of the Quran. Then after this point, the Shaykh says, وَلَيْنَ فِي السُنَّةِ قِيَاسٌ وَلَا تُدْرَكْ لَهَا الْأَمْثَالُ وَلَا تُدْرَكْ لِلْحُكُومِ. There is no qiyas in the Sunnah. There is no qiyas in the Sunnah. That is, you don't use your analogy, so to say, to arrive at Sunnah. So that's why the scholars of the past, they had they took the issue of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they took it seriously. So that's why they would accuse those who they refer to as Aqrai, those who use their intellect to arrive at truth, When you have a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have the Sunnah. You don't abandon the hadith, then you use your intellect to give judgment. You don't abandon the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, using your own intellect, giving your own opinion, and practicing your deen based on that. Or wanting people to follow what you have said, relying on your watch, on your intellect, on your vain desire. So your intellect it is not welcome. What you are supposed to follow is the Sunnah which explains the Quran. Which explains the Quran. What is the Sunnah? Qiyasun. That if you don't do Qiyas, all we have Sunnah. We have evidences from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has touched with the explanation of the Quran. What are two of the lies and signs? Then you don't need examples in order to watch to tackle the Sunnah or to regain the Sunnah. Some people, when you tell them this is the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mistake does not make sense or does not align with the intellect. So they try to watch, throw it away using their watch, their intellect to tackle the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا قُدْرَ إِلَهَا الْأَمْثَالِ. You don't bring examples to watch to tackle the ahadith or the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Al-Qadman ibn Majah, rahmahullah ta'ala, reported in his book, As-Sunan, one day, he and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, they had a kind of talk concerning the one who is something that has been cooked with fire or by fire. So Abu Abdullah was saying that the person will have to renew his ablution. Will have to renew his ablution. So he was trying to quote a hadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to that effect. So Abdullah ibn Abbas then said that, are you saying that if we have ablution, and somebody performs ablution with hot water, with warm water, so the person will have to watch do another ablution again. So Abu Abdullah will come out or angry, and he said that in the Hadithuka, عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حديثا فلا تدري له الأمثال. Then when I tell you that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم says to himself, do not bring the examples to tackle it. You know, the hadith has to do with someone who has eaten something that is cooked by fire, and that the person should do is the ablution. Though the final rule on that, according to what Jabir of Allah said, he said, كَانَ آخَرَ الْأَمْرَيْنِ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى سَلَّمْ تَرْكُ الْقُدُورِ مِمَّا مَتْفَتْهُنَّا. The final rule from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not to perform ablution, not to renew ablution because one has eaten something that is cooked by fire. That was the final rule of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as said by Jabir radiallahu anhu. However, that is the original rule, is that when you eat something that is cooked by fire, and you have ablution before doing that, you have to renew your ablution. So Abu Abdullah narrated this. Then Abdullah ibn Abbas was trying to bring what a kind of example to knock what Abu Abdullah was trying to say or was trying to say. So Abu Abdullah said to him, إِذَا حَدَّثُكَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَدِيثًا فَلَا تَجِدُ لَهُ أَمْثَلًا. If I narrate a hadith for you or to you from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not bring examples to watch to counter it. To counter it. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu did not have the intention of countering the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he believed that what Abu radiallahu anhu was trying to say, it is correct. Not that what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said is not correct, but what Abu Abdullah was trying to say, that is not correct. And how do I give that example? But as I said, the final reason for the message of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that it's not binding, it's not compulsory on one to perform ablution when one eats something that has been cooked by the fire. But when the hadith is established, it's authentic. We don't use examples to tackle the hadith. That is, when the hadith is narrated and the hadith is authentic, don't say, but are you telling us that this one, so and so? What is the value that in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is expected of one is to do the sin? إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِلَىٰ دُرُوْهِ إِلَىٰ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَكُونُوا سَمِيعًا وَأَطَعْنًا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. The statement of the believer, whenever they are invited to Allah and His Messenger to pass judgment to be the ruler, is for them to say, سَمِيعًا وَأَطَعْنًا. We have heard and we are ready to obey. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And these are the successful ones. But when you try to argue, try to debate, try to do that, try to tackle established evidence, established transmissions of the message of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is turning the path, the way of danger. This is dangerous. So when we see a hadith that is authentic, we submit. We don't use our intellect to tackle it. وَلَيْكَ بِالسُنَّةِ فِيهَا سُنُوْقِيَةِ. You don't have an opinion when a hadith, a sunnah, is established. وَلَا تُمْرَمْ لَهَا الْأَمْثَالِ. You don't use examples in order to tackle or counter the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا تُمْرَمْ وَلَا تُدْرَكْ بِالْحُكُومِ. And it's not something that you can say you arrive at. بِالْحُكُومِ, which is your intellect or reason. You don't arrive at sunnah. You have to learn the sunnah. You have to learn the sunnah the way the companions have learned it. You have to learn the sunnah the way the companions have learned the sunnah. And this is what will enable you to practice Islam as expected. But for you to feel that if you sit down and start thinking, pondering, you arrive at what the Sunnah is. No, you can't arrive at what the Sunnah is by just wondering. You have to learn. You have to learn the way the companions learned under the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's not something that you sit and God starts wondering. You sit and you start talking. Do you know you see people coming out to talk about the deen? They don't know anything or nothing about the deen, about the hadith and the message of Allah. But they want to talk. They want to contribute to the deen, particularly in an era where people can just buy data and watch and set up cameras and start talking. So everybody wants to contribute and to talk about the deen. No. Sunnah, that is the hukum, is not by your reason or by your intellect. It's something that you learn the way the companions have learned it. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, took time to explain the Quran to the companions. It took time to explain the Quran to the companions. And the companions, they understood, they comprehended, and they also disseminated what they have understood and comprehended to the Muslims, who are the Tabi'un. Likewise, the Tabi'un also conveyed this to the Muslims, who are not as the Atba'u Tabi'in. So like that. So it's nothing that you learn. It's not something that you just get by reasoning. It's something that you ought to learn. Things that have to do with the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you learn things that have to do with other things of Aqeedah. You learn things that have to do with the Ahkam, the rulings, the judgments, you learn. So you learn the deen. You learn the deen the way the companions learned it. So this is the way of the Salaf story. They took time to learn the deen. They will arrange the teachings of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to learn about the deen. So, as-sunnah la tudraku bil-uqul is not something that you understand with your intellect, that you arrive at with your intellect. It's not something that you arrive at with your intellect. It's something that what you learn and you ought to follow. You learn the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You learn the explanation of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you follow that. The Shaykh Ali rahmatullah established this. Why? Because there are people, when it comes to the issue of Aqeedah, they rely on their intellect. When it comes to the issues of Aqeedah, the issues of what they need, they rely on their intellect, not on the usus, not on the text, not on the transmission. They rely on their intellect, and they say what al-aqlu muqaddamun ala al-naqli. The intellect takes precedence over the text. The intellect takes precedence over the text. Al-aqlu muqaddamun ala al-naqli. The intellect or the reason takes precedence over the transmitted text. This is the statement of the people of innovations. This is the statement of the people of innovations. The Ash'ari, the Mu'tazila, they call the copy and they go the way of the philosopher, the philosopher here. Those who give precedence towards to the intellect. But the Salaf al-Salih, the pious predecessors, they gave precedence to text, that is the transmitted text, that is found, they gave precedence to that over the intellect, or over the reason, over the reason, because that is Islam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that in view the Quran to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to explain, so the explanation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is what? The Sunnah. So if somebody now abandons the Sunnah and gives precedence to his own intellect or the intellect of another person over the transmitted, the authentic transmitted text, such a person has violated the will of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has violated the way of the companions. He has violated the way of the pious intercessors. So it is the innovators that give precedence to the intellect over the text, over the authentic transmitted text, over the authentic transmitted text. As for the people of Sunnah, لا يقدمون العقل على النقل. They don't give precedence to intellect or reason over the text. Why? Because when we talk about intellect and we talk about reason, our reason and intellect differ. We are not equal. We are not the same in terms of reasoning, in terms of intellect. So Muslims are going to give precedence to the reasoning over the text. Whose reasoning are we going to watch? Are we going to give precedence to? Is it my own reasoning or your own reasoning? Or the reasoning of a young boy or of an old man? The reasoning of a lady or a man? Whose intellect are we going to give precedence to over the text? So, on that basis, we are going to differ on this. And that's why, when the matter comes up, for instance, and everyone is talking, everyone is contributing, our contribution will differ. Our reason will differ. Most of the time, yes, there are things that are commonsensical, things that are commonsensical, that we think the same way, there are things like that. But when we subject the matter of the deen to the reason of the people, definitely we have subjected the deen to different reasons, to different reasons. And this is not the deen. The deen is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down so that the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will explain. So the explanation is what is enough for us. Because that is what, that is the wahi. The Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah, إِنِّي أُوتِيتُ الْكِتَابَ وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ. I was given the kitab, the Quran, وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ. I'm also given, I was given something similar to it. So, the Sunnah and the Quran, they go together. They go together. So we cannot subject the deen to the reasoning of the people, the reasoning of the innovators. And that's why the Ash'ariyya, the Maturidiyya, the Mu'tazila, and many others like that from among the theologians, from among the innovators. So they explain some of the issues of the Aqidah, subjecting them to the intellect. So the effect that you see some of them like Ar-Razi and some others, they say anything that that if a text, for instance, disagrees with the intellect, you say that text is going to be rejected, or the text is going to be interpreted in such a way that you agree with what is the intellect. They say because Dala'imu al-Aqli, that is the proof of the intellect or the reasoning, are what Tab'iyya al-Ajlitis. That is the proof of the intellect, the evidence of the intellect, is what? Definitive. That is, there are no two ways to reach. Why? The line is not to be, things that have to be for the evidence or the proof of the nothing, the authentic transmitted text, they said is what? They said it is dhammiyya. It's something that is not definitive. It's something that is subject to interpretation. So they argue that we not need what is definitive for something that is what? That is subject to interpretation. So today, if they say this is what the intellect establishes, there is no text, not from the Quran, that will make them what? That will make them what they believe the intellect establishes. Rather, they will establish the Quran, the verse of the Quran, in such a way that will agree with what they believe the intellect attached. But as you said, this is contrary to the will of the powerful officials. This is contrary to the way of the powerful officials. So the intellect should be subjected to the authentic transmitted text. Because there are a lot of things that you cannot explain. Take for instance, if somebody asks you, why is it that you are just allowed to speak free to Raka? Why is it that you defend Allah in them? Why is Allah to ask for Raka? So that you do for Raka? Why do you need to select in them?
You can't explain. So if you want to subject that to the intellect, your reason watch, the reason will differ. But when you believe, you subject, you submit to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, one that's not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you think yourself that it is what an naql that is sahih. An naql that is sahih. There are lots of things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained the wisdom behind them to us. And there are some things he does not explain the wisdom behind them. But we believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be a king without wisdom. Whether you understand the wisdom behind it or not, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does or says is with wisdom. Whether you understand it or not. Whether you understand it or not. So the point here is that you don't subject the deen or the Quran or the Qusus, you don't subject them to intellect. You don't give precedence to intellect over the Qusus. So take for instance, we say that a woman that loses her husband, for instance, we have to do Idda. We have to do Idda. So, and Idda is 4 months, 10 days, if she is not pregnant. If she is pregnant until she delivers the baby. Let's assume that a woman loses her husband today. She loses her husband today and she is pregnant. And the following day she becomes what? She delivers the baby. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she speaks to the remarks. They said the fact that the deal between the love of her husband and what? The delivery just a day. But we want to subject that to intelligence, it doesn't make sense. How can we say, how should we say it is permissible for a woman that loses her husband today to marry the following day or to marry some days after? So a lot of people say to us, what makes sense? But that is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if one was subject the deen to the intellect, a lot of things would watch, a lot of things will be content with the deen. But when you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the law, is the one that is the lawgiver, whatever it says is what we take. We don't use our intellect, our reason to tackle it. We don't give amsal for the sunnah. To use what your intellect to tackle the sunnah. We don't do that. Because when one does that, that means you have not really believed. A believer, a mu'min is somebody who believes, a mu'min is somebody who is believing. So once you start subjecting the deen to your intellect, the usus, the established authentic text, once you start subjecting it to your intellect, then you have problem. You have problem. You have problem. So a lot of things like that, that when you look, one will say, why is this this? Why is this this? But once you say, what we believe in this, everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What you do not understand, what you cannot really comprehend, so you submit. What is the submission? What do you mean is this authentic? If it is authentic, then you submit. If it is authentic, you submit. And the good reason will also watch, will also fall for that. Will also fall for that. So once you see somebody questioning the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a sign that person is not a good believer. That person is not a good Muslim. So you don't bring the cultures of the people to tackle the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this is what we need our culture. Somebody has brought the evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah, authentic Sunnah. That's the reason what our people do. This is what we do in our own, in our culture. When you do that, that is a sign that you are not a good believer. A good believer, submit. إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إذا دعوا إلى الله ورسوله ليحكم بينهم أن يقولوا سمعنا وأطعنا أو لا يؤمنوا بحول. The statement of the believer, whenever they are invited to the law of Allah, to the law of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for them to say, you have heard and you are ready to submit. And these are the only ones that says to people. So it is very, very important. So understand this. Allah says, Salah wa Rabbika, la yusru, hatta yuhakkimuka, fima shajara bainahum. ثم لا يجد في أنفسه حرجا مما قضيت بسبب متفرد. الله says, I swear by your Lord, they are not believers. They are not believers. Until they make you a judge, a ruler, over everything that was that happens among them or between them. ثم لا يجد في أنفسه حرجا مما قضيت. And whatever judgment you pass, they will not have any beginning against it. Why is that the believer? And they submit themselves completely. So that is what the Quran establishes. So you see somebody trying to tackle the Sunnah, authentic Sunnah, trying to tackle it with the culture, with the custom of the people, that is a sign that that person is sick. That person is not a true believer. So as Sunnah, not to drop that as that, ولا تدرك بالعقول. So it's not something that you use your intellect to say, okay, I say this, I want our life at this point. Scholars say, if you try, you are not following your right path. You're not learning the Sunnah. You don't read books of Ahadith. You just want to watch talk on the deen. You not talk. You say something concerning the deen and you eat it. What you have said agrees with the Sunnah, eventually you are wrong. Because you have followed the wrong path to get to the correct position. You have to follow the right path. So what you have done is what is moved to the answer. You have to follow the right path. So the fact that you are making what you are trying, so that has been making what permissible for you to do. So you have to follow the right path to be forward what you say to be what is accepted. So these points are very, very important. This is what differentiates people of Sunnah from people of Bid'ah. People of Bid'ah, they use their knowledge, that is, they try towards to use analogy rather than what they like on the text. And that way, the Salaf is calling, they refuted those that they refer to as what are the right, those who are not very strong in Hadith, but they do a lot of qiyas. So, and what they will miss the point most of the time, they will miss the point because they rely a lot on qiyas. So, you don't do qiyas when there is what? When there is an authentic transmitted text. So, and you don't use your own, to say, okay, let me use my reasoning. If you are right, if you get to the right decision, the right position, as long as you are not following the right way, you are wrong. So, this is very, very important. One is ahwa, so you don't use your desire to get to it. Inama huwa al-ittiba wa tarku al-hawa. You follow. So you need to back. You follow the Sunnah. So, and you have to abandon your own hawa. You have to abandon your own hawa. It is Sunnah that you follow. And this is what differentiates the people of Sunnah from the people of ahwa. The people of Sunnah, they follow the Sunnah in everything. One of the Salaf Salih, Al-Imam Sufyan bin Sa'id al-Thawri, alayhi rahmatullah, says, إِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَنَّكَ حُكَّ رَأْسَكَ إِلَّا بِالسُنَّةِ فَافْعَلِ. If you want to scratch your ass, if you say your ass, accept the Sunnah. If you have to do that, that's not to do. So, this will tell us the importance of what? Of Sunnah. The importance of Sunnah. The herb is itching and you want to crush it. If it's required that you use Sunnah to do that, then you have to do it. You have to do it. This tells us how much the Salaf is calling, how much they respected the Sunnah. So we follow the Sunnah, we don't follow Ahwa. When we follow Ahwa, our self-desires will be divided. Will be divided. And when we are divided, this paves way for Shaitan to get hold of us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us against that we should not be divided. وَأَتَصْمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold on tenaciously, you all, to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do not be divided. So an intifam the kitab and sunnah, holding on tenaciously to the kitab and sunnah is the way out. When you do that, this will reduce the level of the differences amongst us. But when we learn an ahra, or big desires, this will lead towards calamity. And the Messenger of Allah has warned us within this, that people will come, تجار به تلك الأهواء كما تجار الكلم بصحيح. That is, people will follow Ahwa, their desire, the way Al-Kalam that is rich affects the one that has been watched or disturbs the one that has been affected. He said what? لا يكون عيبكم ولا تشتلون إلا دخلا. Someone who has been affected by rapes, there won't be a joint in that person, nor a vein that will not be affected, because it will be spreading. So this is the way Ahwa, they desire, bid'ah. This is the way they destroy the Ummah. Today as we are watching, we are divided. There is nothing that has been responsible for this except our watch, our Ahwa. If we have done it to back, this would have limited our differences. So we should definitely and shun the way of the innovators. We should follow the way of the people of Sunnah. So we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may the Torah be the Jal Hajj, both the speaker and the listeners. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نعم. Now the question is it a tashish to make dua between Salatul Zuhr and Salatul Al-Asr every Wednesday? Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did something similar to this as recorded by Anas Rasul. So, but can we say something that one should be doing? There is no clear text that it is this watch. If one does it based on what was reported from Anas radiallahu anhu, Allahu a'lam, this is who can be from Allahu a'lam. Now, now the question is, people are praying and the one in the 10 or so raka, or what raka? The first raka. So the Imam will teach that he needs that, and somebody took over from him So I didn't to watch. That the bottom who took over did not use the salah from the beginning. If I get the question, the Imam packets the left. Okay. Now the question is, somebody is reading a salah and a fast. So before that, he's supposed to recite surah. After surah the Fatiha, he forgets to recite the surah. But in fact, so which means you have to read the salah. So the one that takes over, that person does not know that the Imam has started. So the Imam has left a surah unrecited after salah, to after recitation of surah to Fatiha. So what becomes of the salah of the people? Reciting Surah Al-Fatiha is a pillar. Reciting another Surah, that Surah Al-Fatiha in the first raka, is not a pillar. Nor is it wajib, it's not compulsion. It's Sunnah Mustahabba. Let's assume somebody recites only Surah Al-Fatiha in the whole Salah, in the four raka, or the three raka, or in the two raka, he does not recite any surah additionally. The salah is valid, only that he has left what is sunnah. We say sunnah here, that is sunnah, that is mustahabba, that is not wajib. So that doesn't affect the salah of the imam, nor does it affect the salah of the one that takes over. So what affects the law of the Imam is the fact that he has started. So it's a pattern that has affected the law. The one continues after the fact that he does not do comedy, that does not affect him. Does not affect him at all. Allah can. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.